Sport
on the Claire Byrne Show
with Visa, official payment partner of the FIFA World Cup 2026. Everything's a tap in with Visa.
Now let's look ahead to all the weekend sporting action. I'm joined by Off the Ball's Mick McCarthy. Hello.
Hi, Claire.
Is your head spinning?
A little bit, yeah.
it's
only going to get worse this weekend.
So much going on.
I know.
I mean, we'll start with the World Cup because, you know, that's what's in our face most, isn't it, over the last few days. Canada had a wild win last night, didn't they, over Qatar?
It was all incredible, mixed emotions, everything. They lost one of their players, Kone, to what looked like a really bad injury.
Did you see it?
It was one of those ones I didn't see live, and I saw the, you know, when the players got around, it's like, I'm not going to seek this one out.
Yeah. Wise.
I think more and more we're not seeing those as often, thankfully, and they're not showing them to us gratuitously. So, but yeah, it's just one that you just shudder and, you know, hope he's okay, really. But they reacted well. Like, Qatar were down to 9 men for a finish, and Canada won 6-0. But there were amazing scenes at the end. It's their first ever World Cup win. They've been in 2 World Cups before. They lost all 6 games in the 2 World Cups, including 4 years ago. Now, they obviously got a late equaliser for a draw in their first game in Toronto, and then playing last night to win 6-0. It's just beyond dreams, really. Like, so that was, it was like, in fairness, we had Mexico won as well last night in less dramatic circumstances, 1-0. But America are playing tonight and were brilliant in their first game. And the three home nations are actually really adding a lot to it. And they're also doing really well. It looks almost certain that all three of them will get out of their group now as well.
A lot of red cards.
There has been. Yeah, there's been a lot of red cards.
Justified red cards?
For the most part, I think, yeah.
Well, there's the one that didn't happen and should, the Messi one.
Yeah, except, well, yeah, I suppose. Maybe we're all a little bit defensive of Messi. There's a few people are just saying it to me like it's absolutely, I'm like, oh, was it that bad? I'm not sure. We just didn't want Messi to be sent off, but yeah, maybe, yeah, maybe.
Neither did FIFA.
No, well, that's certain, yeah. As we saw by Ronaldo's presence, even in the first game, despite the fact that he should have been suspended after what happened in Lands End Road. But there you go, yeah, there you go. It's all
shady. What do you think of all these conversations now about Ronaldo, that he just needs to sit down, come on when he's needed, and not be taking a spot on the team in the way that he is, and then doing nothing?
I think it's clear and obvious. But again, it's just, that's the problem with a player like Ronaldo. It's like, he's 41 years old. Like, there's, you know, he can't be expected to be the person to do all the work that's needed in the course of a game. But you have this great goal scorer.
But is he, that's my question, is he expected or is he insisting that he's there?
It's hard to know what's actually happening, but there is a sense, I suppose, that Cristiano Ronaldo is not the type to go and say, I'll take a back seat here, folks. And maybe he's not being asked, but it's because of a sense that he won't be too happy. And Manchester United fans will remember very well how he reacted when he was considered more peripheral than he would have liked in his second spell at Manchester United. And, you know, before long, he was talking to Piers Morgan. So, you know, I don't think there's a part of me that wonders, would Portugal rather sacrifice their chance in this World Cup and keep the story of Ronaldo to be this, like, you know, the greatest international goal scorer of all time? Because are they going to win the World Cup anyway? You know, I'd say they have a chance. That's the thing.
I'd say there are players on that team, though, who would like to see him on the bench.
I think so.
Of course,
I think
so. Yeah. Czechia drawing 1-1 with South Africa. This is sort of painful for us, isn't it? Because they were a bit rubbish in that match.
They were awful. Yeah.
Should have been us.
Yeah, yeah. And it was on at like 5 o'clock yesterday, and lots of people would have watched it after work. And this feeling of like watching this game that you're not that interested in, almost like bored, zoning out, thinking, oh,
imagine,
summer's evening, you know, 5 o'clock, the whole country would have been out in the streets. And yeah, I think that's what we're forced to do with Czechia in this entire World Cup, is just watch them through the prism of it could have been us. But yeah, they're not very good, and they're, I would say, unlikely to qualify after that performance last night.
What are the big ones then over the weekend that you're watching out for?
So tonight is actually a really, really good night in the World Cup, because again, USA were like really electric in their performance against Paraguay the first day. So they're playing Australia tonight, and it's the 8 o'clock game here, so it's a lot more watchable. And I think there is an atmosphere element to their games, and I think they also play like explosive good football and could actually be a team that go a decent amount in the tournament.
Really?
And then, yeah, I think so. Yeah, I actually think they're very, very well put together, and they have a really good manager in Pochettino, who Premier League fans will know from Spurs and from Chelsea. So I don't, like, I don't think they'll win it or anything like that, but I think they could go far, or they could knock somebody out, you know. So that's a good game. And then Scotland are playing Morocco at 11 o'clock, which actually, you know, on the weekend, is it weekend yet? Not really, but... Well, no, sorry, it is Friday. I'm losing track of my days, Claire. It's been a long week. But yeah, Scotland again.
It's been the weekend since yesterday.
Exactly. Scotland-Morocco definitely is a huge, huge game.
And we're all supporting Scotland, aren't we? Isn't that the deal?
I was in Scotland last weekend and in Edinburgh for their first game and went out, and I'm fully on board with the Tartan Army for this World Cup alone, yeah.
Will we talk about the GAA then? Because there's an awful lot going on here as well. So if you don't stay up all night watching the World Cup, hopefully you'll be fit for the gaff.
It's an insanely packed weekend. Like, I mean, we've got the Tailteann Cup semi-finals tomorrow in Croke Park, but you've got like the football and hurling games that are on in the main championship is just unbelievable. Like, you've got Kerry and Armagh starting off the week at 4 o'clock. The idea that one of these two teams will be out come 6 o'clock tomorrow evening is just unbelievable. Mm-hmm. They were two of the three that we were looking at as the All-Ireland contenders. Both of them kind of messed up in, you know, Kerry against Donegal and Armagh, especially last week against Louth. And now they're just in this position, and it's going to be really, really difficult, especially, I think, for Armagh with 6 days turnaround. It'll be their seventh game already in the championship in a short period of time, going down to Killarney. But who knows, you know,
that's a big ask, isn't it?
It's such a big ask, I think. And I really do think that they've had a lot on. If you think that Kerry have played 4 games in the championship this year versus Armagh's 6, Donegal have only played 3, you know, so that's absolutely huge. You've got Meath and Mayo after that, which is another massive game. And both of their seasons need a little bit of saving. All knockout from here on in the football as well. And then that's just tomorrow. You've got Dublin Donegal headlining in Croke Park on Sunday. Obviously another massive game. Mm-hmm. And Donegal not winning against Cork last week has left them in this position where they'll think they can beat Dublin. Dublin haven't been amazing, but it's not the team you want to be playing either. You know?
I know, but Dublin in Croke Park is just a slightly different prospect to Dublin playing Dublin anywhere else. Do you agree?
Yeah, although they might think that it's gone the other way at the moment, even, because they've been their two games in Croke Park this season, they've been poor. That's been against Louth and against Westmeath, and they've lost them both, whereas they've actually been okay out around the country. It's almost the opposite of the great Dublin team of the past, you know, so... We'll see what happens there. I think Donegal will probably win, and I kind of think Kerry will just end up having too much for Armagh. But then in the hurling side of things as well, you've got like two huge quarterfinals that have somewhat been overshadowed this week, I think, in the build-up. But Clare versus Dublin tomorrow night in Thurles is a massive game. Again, Dublin just didn't turn up in the Leinster final and will be like disgusted with themselves. And I think if they go and lose to Clare, it'll feel like they did a lot for nothing. Whereas I think if they go and beat Clare, it'll feel like massive progress and they'll go on. Whereas Clare, there's a sense of the last dance is what they've been calling it, because they've got a lot of the great players like Tony Kelly and Shane O'Donnell and John Conlon and David McInerney. They've been around for a long time or back for one more year, you feel. A few of them will stay around, but this group, I think it's the last chance. So that's huge. And then Cork and Offaly on Sunday. Maybe people don't really see it as a contest, but Offaly's return to this level of hurling is an occasion in itself, and they will bring a huge crowd, as will Cork. So the occasion on Thurles on Sunday alone will be huge.
It's a dizzying lineup, isn't it?
I haven't even mentioned half of it.
Yeah, Westmeath and Monaghan as well. Yeah. It's an incredible weekend of sport. Then in the rugby, you've got Leinster against Bulls. Leinster be the favourite there.
Just about, I would say. Yeah, I think it'll be a tough game, really. Like, Bulls have been in 4 of the last 5 URC finals, including tonight, and they haven't won one yet. So to lose 4 finals becomes almost notorious. Leinster will be favoured because of home advantage, but I think it's a really close game. There's a lot of South African internationals playing for the Bulls tonight, and Leinster have not been in great form. But I think they're going to be 40,000 in Croke Park tonight, which is a big improvement on what Leinster have been bringing for the games in recent weeks. So maybe that might be enough.
Okay, and the US Open then, sort of weird weather situations affecting this. And now you have Wyndham Clark, who is 6 under, which wasn't expected.
Not at all. So he's like well out in the lead in his own and isn't even finished his first round yet because of all the delays yesterday. They didn't even get to finish it, but he's got a couple of holes left. He's way out, I think 4 shots ahead of everybody else. it's one of those things that can happen early in a tournament and you don't get too worried about it. The only problem is
yet.
Clark has been in decent form and he is a former winner, so that he was mentioned a little bit in the build-up. So you don't want one of the favourites to be going out miles ahead of everybody else because they could actually maintain it. And what happened was Rory McIlroy was out with Scheffler and all the big names early on in awful weather conditions. Rory played absolutely brilliantly. Unfortunately, he bogeyed the last two holes, which just took away the momentum a little bit and ended up at one under, which was a great score on the day with the weather conditions the way they were. But if it was three, you know, you'd have been fancying for the tournament, whereas now he's a little bit back in the pack. But then what you weren't expecting was a further delay for the late players and just a completely benign course when they came back out. And it's a completely different game played in wind and no wind. So,
The fact that you did well against the weather does not matter.
It doesn't count at all unless you get lucky with the weather today and it going the other way because they'll play later today. But other than that, it doesn't matter at all, really. The only thing that will happen, I would say, is that at least it wasn't 10 or 20 people that took advantage of the conditions. Only one. So it's hard for him to, he'll have to maintain his form. Whereas if there's a load of them out there, you're a long way back. So I think McIlroy's in really, really good position here.
All right, get settled on the sofa for the weekend, I think, despite the good weather that we're hopefully expecting as well. Mick, thanks so much. That's Mick McCarthy from Off the Ball.
Sport
on the Clare Byrne Show
with Visa, official payment partner of the FIFA World Cup 2026. Everything's a tap-in with Visa.